As we move into the 19th chapter of Judges, we have the story of another Levite, beginning with the first verse. And it came to pass in those days, when there was no king in Israel, that there was a certain Levite sojourning on the side of Mount Ephraim, who took to him a concubine out of Bethlehem, Judah. So we're still in that time when there was no king in Israel, a time in which there was no central government, no real head or authority to guide the people, and consequently we're at a time in which they were going to be most apt to turn away from God and to do those things that were absolutely a shame in the sight of God for them to do. And at this time when there is no ruling authority, at this time when there is no central head or figure to guide them, it seems that no tribe was harder hit than the tribe of the Levites. For here we have only two mentions of Levites in this book of Judges. The one in the previous story who was the priest for Micah's house, who later went with the Danites, who was active in the sin of Micah and the sin of the Danites in their idolatry. And now we have the story of another Levite who is passive in the wickedness of Gibeah. The injuries done to this man are of such a magnitude that all the nation took an interest in this problem that he had. This man sojourned on the side of Mount Ephraim, which was in the tribe of Ephraim, and of course it was not very far from the city of Shiloh, where the ark and the tabernacle were located. And we feel quite strongly that he was in a position to involve part of his time in the care of God's things there. And verse 1 further says that this man took to him a concubine out of Bethlehem, Judah. Now, Bethlehem, Judah is south of Jerusalem a few miles. It's the very same Bethlehem that Jesus was born at, and the very same Bethlehem that the Levite of the previous chapter, who became Micah's priest, came from. So it would be located about 20 to 25 miles south of where the Levite lived up in Ephraim. And his wife is described here as being a concubine. And I would like to read the definition of a concubine taken from Smith's Bible Dictionary. Concubine, a woman lawfully wed to a head of a family in a position below that of a regular wife. Such a relationship was assumed and provided for by the law of Moses, and no moral stigma was attached to it. The concubine might be a foreign slave, bought or captive, a Hebrew girl bought or taken in payment of a debt, or a Canaanitish woman, bond or free. In the Old Testament, concubines bore supplementary family to the head of the family, sometimes at the barren wife's suggestion. Her children might become co-heirs, and many achieved distinction. And although this woman, in this first verse of Judges 19, is described as being a concubine, we do not read of him having any other wives besides her. Verse 2, and his concubine played the whore against him, and went away from him unto her father's house to Bethlehem, Judah, and was there 4 whole months. Now in this phrase, played the whore against him, we have some division of opinion as to what this means. Some interpret it to mean exactly what the King James Version says here, that she went off with someone else and violated the marriage contract and was classified as being a harlot. However, other translations do not translate this word the same, and they refer to her as simply being angry with her husband. And this phrase of playing the whore against him then is described as being angry and unhappy with her husband, and it's as though they had an argument between themselves. She became unhappy, she became distraught about it, and so she left and went away from him unto her father's house down in Bethlehem, Judah. And it would be like in many cases today where the husband and wife have an argument and the wife runs away home to her parents. And she was in the home of her father for 4 whole months. So this would be quite a period of separation. And it seems that her husband truly did love her. He truly did care for her. For he then went to the home of her father to try to patch over their differences. Verse 3 says, and her husband arose and went after her to speak friendly unto her, and to bring her again. So he went to speak friendly unto her. He didn't go to chastise her. He didn't go to bring any kind of a charge against her. He didn't go to make matters any worse, but he went to soothe matters over. He went to speak friendly unto her. And here we learn a very great lesson about how to get along in marriage. One of the most important things in marriage is for the husband and wife to be able to communicate, for them to be able to communicate in a friendly, amicable manner, so that every time there's a disagreement, every time there's some kind of a conflict or friction, it doesn't degenerate into an out-and-out quarrel. They need to be able to talk. One can talk, the other can listen, and then vice versa, so that they can communicate and exchange ideas and feelings. And this is accomplished by this phrase of speaking friendly unto her, and to bring her again. He wanted to bring her back home with him. He wanted to eradicate whatever the problem, whatever the difficulty was between them. He wanted to so correct things that she could now go back and they could pick up where they left off at home. Having his servant with him and a couple of asses, and she brought him into her father's house. So when he came down there and met her, she brought him into her father's house. They were giving him hospitality. It seemed to be a warm, amicable meeting between the two. They were not at that great of animosity, with that great of a problem that they couldn't sit down and work the thing out. And when the father of the damsel saw him, he rejoiced to meet him. Now, no doubt the father was very glad to see this man come back to get the daughter. He was very glad to see him want to correct whatever the problem was, to want to work it out, to be friendly with his daughter. And this is a very, very natural reaction for parents when they have children who are having difficulty with a marriage. If there is difficulty with a marriage, there is nothing that would better please a parent than to see these children be able to work out their problem, to be able to have a friendly, amicable relationship and want to get back together again and have a home and do the things that God would want them to do. And so no doubt then this man, when he saw the husband coming, his son-in-law, he rejoiced to meet him. And his father-in-law, the damsel's father, retained him, and he abode with him 3 days, so that he'd eat and drink and lodge there. So they had quite a stay. Now, he was there for 3 days. They entertained him by giving him lodging and food and drink, and it seemed to have been a very pleasant relationship. The man and his wife were working out their difficulties, and they were now ready to get on with the business of going back home. Verse 5, and it came to pass on the fourth day, when they arose early in the morning, that he rose up to depart. And the damsel's father said unto his son-in-law, comfort thine heart with a morsel of bread, and afterward you may go your way. So on this fourth day, the Levite decided, well, it's time to go home now. This is a day of travel. We've been here over 3 days now, and it's time to get on back. So he rose up early, and he was ready to go and get a good head start on the day's journey. For it was about 20 miles or so to where he was going, maybe a little further. And it would be a fair day's journey to make it in one day. But his father-in-law persuaded him to stay a while longer. Comfort thine heart with a morsel of bread, and afterwards go your way. Just wait a little bit and let's eat something. And then you can go a little bit later. Just don't go right now. And they sat down and did eat and drink, both of them together. For the damsel's father had said unto the man, be content, I pray thee, and tarry all night, and let thine heart be merry. Wait, just stay another night. Don't go today at all. Let your heart be merry. Relax. Make a little vacation out of this. Don't go so soon. He was using all means there to persuade this Levite to stay longer. And, of course, it seems that he was very successful. Verse 7 says, and when the man rose up to depart, his father-in-law urged him, therefore he lodged there again. So he stays another night. So this makes 4 days and four nights that he is down in Bethlehem with his father-in-law. And he really had planned to leave on that fourth day, but the father-in-law so detained him that he didn't do it. So verse 8, and he arose early in the morning on the fifth day to depart. And the damsel's father said, comfort thine heart, I pray thee. So The father persuaded him to stay a little while longer. Don't leave so early. Stay here and enjoy yourself. Comfort thine heart, I pray thee. And many times when we have those that would visit us and we're so glad to see them, we hate to see them leave. We may not realize that we're actually detaining them from some important part of their journey by making them stay longer. And it's a decision to make. Do I leave now or can I stay a while longer? And here someone is persuading the man to stay longer. And even on the fifth day, comfort thine heart, I pray thee. And they tarried until afternoon. And they did eat, both of them. So here the day now is becoming spent. It's afternoon. They've already wasted over half a day in which they could have been traveling. And they have a long distance to go to get home. It's on the map over 20 miles up there to Mount Ephraim. Verse 9, and when the man rose up to depart, he and his concubine and his servant, his father-in-law, the damsel's father, said unto him, behold, now the day draweth toward evening. I pray you tarry all night. Behold, the day groweth to an end. Lodge here, that thine heart may be merry. And tomorrow get you early on your way, that thou mayest go home. So after the day was pretty well spent, the father-in-law made a reasonable argument, a reasonable request one more time. The day's well spent, so wait and start tomorrow. Get an early start tomorrow. Stay one more night. And this probably would have been a most wise thing for the Levite to have done, seeing he had as far to go as he did have, and that it was as late in the day as it was. There was no way that he could make it during the daytime. He would be caught in the night somewhere between here and home and not have any good place to stay. So the logical thing would have been to have stayed and to have tarried and to have lodged one more night. But the man would not tarry that night, but he rose up and departed and came over against Jebus, which is Jerusalem. So he got about 6 miles down the road to Jebus, which later became Jerusalem. And there were with him 2 asses saddled. His concubine also was with him. And when they were by Jebus, the day was far spent. It was getting close to dark now. Not a good time to travel at all, especially in this part of the country. He was in a country where there were foreigners that occupied this city. They were not Israelites. And the servant said unto his master, come, I pray thee, let us turn in into this city of the Jebusites and lodge in it. And his master said unto him, we will not turn aside hither into the city of a stranger. This is not of the children of Israel. We will pass over to Gibeah. So here this city was occupied by the Jebusites, who were not Israelites, and this man had scruples against staying with them. He had scruples against intermingling with them and associating with them. They were not Israelites. This is a city of strangers, and we're not going to stay with these people. We're going to move on, go on to Gibeah. Gibeah is going to be a few more miles down the road, but you can see the day is just about gone. It's probably close to dark already. And he said unto his servant, come, let us draw near to one of these places to lodge all night in Gibeah or in Ramah. Now this road that passed by Gibeah went on up to Ramah and on up to Shiloh. And we'll see later that this man was actually bound to go to Shiloh, whether to lodge there or whether just to give an offering there to God is not clear. But he planned to go on to Gibeah and then lodge all night in one of these, either Gibeah or on up to Ramah, which was the next city down the road. And they passed on and went their way, and the sun went down upon them when they were by Gibeah, which belongeth to Benjamin. So it seems that Gibeah is as far as they're going to be able to get. The sun is down now. It's dark. They're not going to be able to travel. So they decide to stay in Gibeah. Well, we've come to the end of our time for this segment of the study. So we're going to close at that point. We'll continue the story of this Levite of Mount Ephraim in the next lesson. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.